Welcome to the Rap Soul Podcast, where we dive deep into the world of music that moves our hearts and gets our feet tapping. This is the intersection of rap and soul music from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. We appreciate you for listening. Share this podcast with a friend or family member who loves music as much as you do. The podcast is hosted by 12 Kyle. Next up, the Rap Soul Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Rap Soul Podcast. I am your boy, 12 Kyle. I want to thank you all for tuning in as you do each and every week. Again, this is the Rap Soul Podcast. This is the intersection where we have discussions about music and artists from the 80s, the 90s, and the 2000s when it comes to hip-hop, rap, soul, and R&B. Simply put, folks, this is the best music podcast that you've never heard. Until right now. Again, I want to thank you all for tuning in as you do each and every week. Shout out to everybody checking in on YouTube. On this episode, we're going to talk about hot takes, specifically hip hop hot takes. As you can see, or maybe you can't see if you're watching on YouTube, I will not be doing this show alone. My guest tonight is one of my boys, one of my partners. He hosts one of my favorite podcasts. It's called Pod and Saved Our Marriage with his lovely wife, Queen Germ. My man, King Germ, is in the building. Germ, what up?
What's going on, 12 Kyle? Right now, I'm recording from an undisclosed location. So, you know, because the nigga got warrants. So, but hey, thank you again for having me here. This is something straight down my... This is in my wheelhouse right here, man. Because I got some hot takes for the people today.
You clearly do, because folks, listen, me and Germ talk, we either talk or text every day, right? And we were on the phone the other day and he started this. He actually came up with this idea or gave me this concept based on a hip hop hot take that he had. Now, folks, before I tell you and divulge what his hip hop hot take was, hip hop hot takes are just that. They're hot takes. They're unpopular opinions, as some might say. But because Germ and I are people who know hip hop, we're entitled to our opinions because, you know, everybody has an opinion. And so understand that we're not trying to change anybody's opinion on these titles or excuse me, on these subjects that we're going to talk about. And be clear, you can't change our opinions on what we're going to talk about tonight. But I just wanted to give you that disclaimer because I have no idea what he's going to say, except for one thing. And that's where we're going to start. Germ, please tell the people the hip hop hot take that you gave me the other day when we were on the phone.
Okay. I want y'all to understand that I was born in the South. I've resided in the South over 47 years, actually. Mm-hmm. And I'm a big fan of Southern hip hop. I understand that we have our legends and the people that, you know, the forefathers, and one of the forefathers of Southern hip hop is Brad Jordan, aka Scarface. And my hot take about Scarface is he's a legend, but he's overrated. I'm just gonna be honest with y'all. Scarface is the rapper. Hey, they say he tells the greatest stories and all this. And hey, if that's what you believe, that's what you believe. Me personally, mid at best. Now, when he was with the Ghetto Boys, great collective. Solo artist, he got a couple of good songs, but people be putting Scarface too high up on the list, and that's my hot take on that one.
I mean, this is clearly a hot take because, as many of you know, Scarface is one of my favorite MCs of all time. I've got him in my personal top 10. I think he's probably one of the best, if not the best, Southern MC. And Scarface and I go back a long way. Like, I remember starting to listen to Scarface, I want to say, like, 89, 90, way back then when he was with the Ghetto Boys. And, you know, we used to call him Brad. You know, he was action. And so that's what I remember. And for this man who, again, King Germ has been on the Rap Soul Podcast. He's been on on the flagship station, the 12 Kyle Podcast. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Germ, didn't we do an episode about Southern rappers?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, okay. So we did an episode. So we've done several episodes before, and I've heard, and I know that he is a son of the South. He's from North Carolina. I'm from South Carolina. He currently lives in Florida. I live in Atlanta. So we're in the South. I mean, if he was from Brooklyn, I wouldn't let him slide, but but given the fact that he's from the South, he said, okay, so let me go back to what you said. You said Scarface is mid. Why do you think he's mid?
It's just he's not on the level that we put him on that pedestal that we put Scarface. When everybody from the South talk about their legendary rappers, everybody mentions Scarface. And I'm like, I get why, because he was one of the first. But let's be honest. Talent-wise, he's not better than T.I. He's not better than Bun B. He might not even be best Ghetto Boy. Willie D might be the best rapping Ghetto Boy, if we're going to be honest about it. I mean, if I'm rating the Ghetto Boys, I got Scarface third, maybe. You know what I'm saying?
Germ, how can you have him third behind Bushwick Bill when he wrote Bill's verses?
I didn't say he was. I got Killer Mike ahead of him. I mean, not Killer Big Mike. I'm sorry. He was a transient Ghetto Boy. But still, I'm just saying, let's be honest. Scarface is a legend. I'm not taking nothing away from him. That song Mary, love it. Like that song with him and Tupac, that was like the one that clout chasing. Let's go ahead and call it what it is.
Let's call it what it is. You mean Smile?
Yes.
How is that clout chasing? They asked him to be on the record. It wasn't like he sought out to be on a Tupac record.
I mean, it was the timing of it, you know what I'm saying? Pac being deceased, and that kind of, you know, put Scarface into another, it catapulted him a little bit. You know, he gave him a little more, you know, he wasn't supposed to get there. Let's just go ahead and put it where it is. I mean, I get it. If Pac was alive, I might have felt a little better with it, but Pac being dead, I was just like, I don't like it.
Okay. All right, well, that's one of his hip-hop takes. I will offer a hip hop take.
Let's hear it.
And this is very unpopular, but you know, it doesn't really matter to me one way or the other. New York rappers, or New York as a whole, it's over for y'all.
Hey,
New York will never be on top of hip hop again.
Ever. Y'all lost it in like 97, 98, and y'all ain't seen it again. 50 came back.
Yeah. 50 might have been your saving grace. 50 was the one to try. And by me saying this, I'm not saying that that there aren't great rappers from NYC, because there's a slew of them, and I love a lot of them. I am a kid who grew up on New York City rap. But that being said, New York has not held the crown for the better part of the last 20 plus years. And honestly, it's going to be back and forth between the South and the West at this point. But it's not coming back to New York. And part of the reason is like New York. And let me start by saying, maybe I should have started by saying this, because I'm sure that there's somebody from Brooklyn that's listening like, yo, I can't believe you fronting on us, son. I love New York City. I was born in New Jersey. I am a diehard New York Giants fan. I'm a diehard New York Yankees fan. That being said, it's over for New York hip hop as far as their dominance. Now, will you have great MCs? Of course. New York has more greater MCs than any other city. But that being said, it's over, man. They're not coming back, because for one, New York, as far as the hip hop community, isn't unified, and they'll never be unified. The South, for the most part, has always been unified. The Midwest, kind of, sort of. You know, they kind of click up in their cities. Maybe not as a whole. Definitely out West. And when we talking West, we're talking L.A. L.A.'s, you know, they may hate each other in each other's sets and stuff like that. But listen, if it's them against everybody else, L.A.'s going to stick together. We've seen that live with this latest run that Kendrick Lamar has been on. But yeah, it's over for New York. Sorry.
As far as New York, they have an identity problem. Like, the New York sound is just played out. And when they tried to redo their sound, they just started copying the Chicago drill, the English grime scene, and they created this new rap. But when they do the old school rap, it just sounds so dated. So I just think New York has an identity issue, because, you know, once Fat Joe and all them came down south, and Nori, and they got the southern beats and stuff, and they took that back up there, it really confused things, because the same guys y'all used to talk about, those country slow bammers, now y'all making music that sound just like it. Like when ASAP Rocky came out, you couldn't tell me he was from Houston. I'm just listening to his music. When they said, oh, he's from New York, I said, what? Are you serious?
Right.
And so I just think New York needs to, you know, find them a new identity, if they can do that. But I don't see it happening, because it's like they so stuck in their ways, because we was the first to do it. This is the way it's supposed to be done, son. Not no more, man. Not yeah, no more.
I agree. I think and it's tough for them, because you got to remember that's the birthplace of hip hop. Shout out to the Bronx. That's where it all got started. And for so long, New York not only had a reign on rap, and then subsequently hip hop, but they weren't letting anybody else in. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you were from below D.C., you were in the South. And
if you was below New York, you was from the South. If you was in Jersey, they called you.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah, New York didn't. They didn't particularly care for Philly either.
Yes,
so,
that's.
So if you wasn't from New York, they really wouldn't give you no shine. But yeah, my message to New York: it's over. It's a wrap. You can keep trying. I would definitely tell you to keep trying. But as far as you getting dominant and being back on top of hip hop, is done for. What else you got, Jerm? Another hip-hop hot take.
Since we in New York, I'm going to go ahead and keep it there. Fabulous. Fabulous should do an album of all features. That means that he should be a feature on his own album. So you don't do three verses, Fab. You just come in, you let somebody else do something. You just come in and give us 1:16. And I think that would be a quality Fab album, because let's be honest, Fabulous, Busta Rhymes, nobody want to hear y'all rap three verses. One verse, I'm in. Two, three verses, you know what? You're losing me there, buddy. So, idea for y'all. If I was y'all A&R, I was like, hey, let's do a concept album. We're going to do features on 16 or 13 songs. You're going to be a feature artist on your own album, and I bet you it'll be a better album than what he's doing right now.
Yeah, man. I like Fabulous. I've always liked Fabulous, but Fabulous, I think, suffers from, you know, that what I call the mixtape syndrome, where he had really dope songs on mixtapes, or at least he had dope verses on mixtapes. And he could make, like you said, a hot 16 for a mixtape. But when it came to making a full album, he just couldn't.
Yeah.
And it was him. I look at guys like him. Joe Budden was another one. I mean, listen, kids, there's a lot of you that know Joe Budden from him podcasting and being on Love and Hip Hop. Trust me, that old dude that you see on the TV, he can rap. Or at least he used to be. He rap his face off. One of the best lyricists I've heard in my lifetime, no lie. But for him to put a full song together and make a hit, I mean, and it's funny, Jerm, because it's like when you mentioned Joe Budden, outside of the, you know, social media sphere, it always comes back to Pump It Up. And Pump It Up was a good song, but it was
still a good song.
Yeah, it wasn't like, but he wasn't lyrical miracle on that, you know. So I don't even know if most people have seen the greatness of Joe Budden, or heard the greatness of Joe Budden outside of, you know, those of us who listen to hip hop. So I put Fabulous in that same category, man. And I like Fab. He's just, you know, he's more known for, like you said, features. He's a great feature artist. He just can't. And I bought his album. The album was okay, but it wasn't like, I'd say like halfway through, it just lost me.
Every song was two verses too long. All of that Young, it was done. I mean, he had a whole bunch of good songs on there, but it was just like that one day song, one day it'll happen. Sorry. So that song, if he just would have cut it down, I'm telling you, Fabulous. Listen to me. One verse. Do one something verse. Innovative.
Yeah, I feel you on that. My hip hop take. Drake. Drake is a very good rapper. Very good rapper. He's a pop star, but he's a very good rapper. My hip hop take is that Drake could never be considered one of the GOATs. And the reason being is that he's admitted to the fact that people write or have written for him. In my opinion, you can be phenomenal as far as an artist, as far as performing, but as an MC, nobody should ever write a rhyme for you. And from what we've been told, and what he's basically acknowledged, is that Drake has a team of writers. Now, again, it doesn't prevent him from delivering the raps, because all jokes aside, Drake can rap. Like, and when he gets really, really busy, Drake can get down. I mean, I know people have really chosen sides as far as him and Kendrick in this battle or whatever, and rightfully so. But which I don't think was fair, because I don't think lyrically he could compare to Kendrick. Now, popularity-wise, there's no bigger hip-hop artist than Drake. But again, he's a pop star, so he's not a lyricist. And again, I don't think he can be considered in the GOAT conversation because he doesn't write his own rhymes.
I agree with you on that one. I mean, Drake is one artist that I say doesn't have a classic album. And I mean, which is, there's nothing wrong with that. Well, like, no, he doesn't. He doesn't.
I'm
like,
trying to think.
No classics.
What was it?
If you got to think about it, it's not no classics to a car.
What about the one?
To a car. It's not
if
a classic.
This is too late.
It's not a classic.
That's not a classic? Okay.
No. Nothing, he has no classics. So I agree with you on that. And he can't, you know, that GOAT category, I mean, that's subjective, but for the purist, no, he couldn't be in it. Because just like you said, if it comes out that, you know, Jay-Z had a ghostwriter, that's going to damage the whole foundation for all the whole Avengers. They ain't going to know what to do.
And you listen, know? If somebody found out that Jay-Z had a ghostwriter, it'd be a whole bunch of people jumping off bridges and out
what?
Off mountains and stuff.
I named my son Sean Corey. What do you mean?
Yes, I can't put him in the GOAT conversation. You got another hip hop hot take.
Let's keep it in New York.
Oh, there's a theme here.
No, not really. It's just it's gonna seem that way, but okay. It's not a theme here. AZ couldn't live up to the hype after the verse on Life's a Bitch. I'm gonna be honest with you. He rapped so well on that verse that people thought he was next up. Like they thought he was gonna jump Nas. They like, oh hey, this guy AZ. I know y'all think Nas is nice, but this guy AZ, he's going to be the next one. And I think because that verse, he spit everything he had in that verse and he could never live up to the hype behind that verse. That's why his career never took off. Now, people go say, hey, AZ had a good career. He did Do or Die and all this. Let's be honest. We wanted Life's a Bitch AZ. We never got Life's a Bitch AZ again after that, ever.
Well, I can't agree with that. I think AZ has been, I think he's been solid. I think the problem is, I don't know if he ever got the push that he would have needed from his record label to push his albums, because he's made good albums. I don't, of the album, and I can't say that I've heard all of them. I know like his last two albums I've heard here recently in the last couple of years, at least when he put them out, they're dope albums. Now, to your point, he's not delivering the, you know, he ain't on the same level he was on that track, Life's a Bitch. But I mean, that was literally like 30 years ago. So I could make a case that, you know, Nas ain't rapping like he was 30 years ago. But who is? You know, that's the bigger issue. I can't agree. But I get where you're coming from. I ain't going to give you a whole bunch of pushback. But at least I will say this much. At least you know who AZ is, because trust me, there's probably a handful of people who are listening right now that like are trying to figure out, or they're Googling who AZ is.
Yeah. It's the guy on Life's a Bitch. The first guy you hear rapping is him.
Right. Yeah, that's him. That's him.
That's him.
Let's see. Another hip hop hot take. I'm going to go to an album. My Beautiful Twisted Dark Fantasy by Kanye West. Not as good as people make it out to be.
Oh, the under 35 is about to get you 12.
Listen, they can get me and they can get all this smoke. That album, I mean, go back and listen to it, because I didn't particularly, I thought it was really good the first time I heard it. Mm-hmm. And then I went back and, you know, and I kept listening to it or whatever. And then after a while, I was like, and then, you know how you, it's almost like a toy. You put the toy down as a kid, you get the toy and it's brand new and you're having fun with it. Then you put the toy down and you come back a couple of days and you ain't having as much fun with the toy. Mm-hmm. It that's how that album was for me. And then maybe about 2 years ago, I was like, you know what? Let me just put all BS aside. Because me and my homie Matt, shout out to Matt, we were talking about it. I was like, let me go back and listen to it. Maybe I was being a little harsh on Kanye and I was being, you know, dealing with his personal stuff and not liking Kanye as a person as opposed to his music. And I said, okay, let's put all biases aside and listen. And I listened to a Germ, and it wasn't that good. I mean, it was, It was good, but it wasn't as good as they make it out to be. They make it out to be like the best thing since sliced bread, and it wasn't. And I tried to put myself in the context of which it came out, so that way you're not listening in 20, 25 years. You're listening in whatever year it came. I think it was 2002, I think. But no, it is not as it was. If I'm not mistaken, they gave it five mics. It's not a five mic album. It's a.
This album was voted the best hip hop album of all time.
Hey. It must be, like you said, it must be them 35 and under.
I mean, the people, they say that is a hip-hop masterpiece. They say they have so many glowing reviews about the album. Now, listen, I don't think that's, I mean, it might be the Kanye people say that's his best album. I don't feel that way. I feel more of a, The Graduation might be his best album. My Twisted Dark, whatever that is, it was a little too dark for me. Does it have some good songs on it? Yes. Mm-hmm. As, couple of my favorite Kanye songs. Runaways on there. I don't know if Flashing Lights on there or not, but I think Flashing
Lights. You like no, Runaway?
Oh, man. Ugh. Toast to the assholes. Toast to the douchebags. That, hey, that speaks to me, brother. That speaks to me. Like, what?
Wow.
I love that song. So, but yeah, I don't think the album is that great. But the people that was in college or the youngins around that time, they have affinity for the album like no other. Like, so, you might get some smoke for that one, Twerk.
And I'm here for the smoke. I'm here for all the smoke because it I could listen to it tomorrow. I'm not above listening to it tomorrow, and I'm still going to feel the same way. It's just not, it's not as good as they made it out to be. Is again, be clear what I'm saying. It's a good album. It's not as good as they made it out to be.
Yeah.
Again, if you say something's a five mic album, in my opinion, when someone listens to it, there should not be any questions. Or it may be a question of, I don't know, maybe it's not, maybe this song, maybe that song, what have you. You know, you should be able to debate a five mic album in keeping it at five, or maybe at the very least pushing it down to 4.5. And you're still within a variance at that point. But if you go from 5 to 4, then it's not as good as people made it out to be. So I'll bring all the smoke. I'm here. I ain't running. I ain't ducking. I'm running up the chimney. I want all the smoke.
Oh, hey, you heard him.
What else you got?
I got one right here. All right. Joe Budden is probably the worst thing that ever had. Excuse me. Joe Budden is probably the worst thing that has happened to podcasting. Ooh. Now let me hear me out. And it's not but what you think. I think this is my reason. Joe Budden wasn't a successful rapper, but he's a successful podcaster. So people in the rap world feel like, well, I'm a bigger star than him. I can go over there and do what he's doing, not knowing that what Joe Budden is doing, he's actually good at podcasting, right? So they see this and they think, oh, I could do that. Another reason why Joe Budden's the worst thing having a podcasting. His whole, the way he does it, the success he has behind it. New podcasters see that and they like, well, I could do that if Joe, I'm going to have my setup look like Joe Budden. I want me and my friends to sit around and talk like Joe Budden, not knowing that it's really a method behind the man's madness. Then just the whole setup, the visual podcasting in the whole takes away from the audio experience and focus more on the setup. Who cares about your design or your show if your show is trash? So Joe Budden is the worst thing ever having a podcasting. And it's not because of him. It's just because he makes it look so easy because he's good at what he does that people think just because I was better at him and doing what I'm doing, I can go into the avenue and do it. Ain't that right, T.I.? Ain't that right? You know what I'm saying? It just doesn't work like that. You know what I'm saying? You actually have to put in the work to be good at it. And Joe Budden has done that. You know, Joe Budden, he was doing this show for years for free, not no money. You know what I'm saying? Y'all people come in the gate with million-dollar sponsorships, and y'all don't even want to keep up the show going. So listen, y'all leave Joe Budden alone when it comes to this pod. He knows what he's doing, all right? And stop trying to jump in this lane and trying to excel in it because he's having a nice lane, a big old lane over there in the hip-hop world. So that's my hot take right there.
You know what, man? I can't disagree. I never really thought about it like that, but you made some great points. And be clear, you're not hating on Joe Budden.
No.
You're saying that basically everybody's trying to copy what he's done and make it. And you're right. I mean, like, how many times have we seen said rapper or said rappers or said entertainers, you know, go into podcasts? Podcasting isn't easy. And it may be a little bit easier for someone who is a solo podcaster like myself, where it's just me, you know, I mean. But if Joe's people on his podcast decide, well, hey, we don't want to do it today, or we're not feeling you, or whatever the case may be. I mean, if they quit, he doesn't have a podcast. I mean, I'm sure Joe could get up there and talk by himself, but nobody wants to hear Joe talk for 3 hours, not by himself. And we saw what happened with, you know, his former co-host. And I don't know if I told you, Jeremy, I tried to listen to their podcast. I listened to their podcast for about a month and a half. Man, listen, it almost put me to sleep. Hey, it was cakes.
You had some B and C mic guys both trying to be A mics. Yeah. And then it was just like, so I'll be honest with you. I stopped listening. Once they broke up, I really don't listen to either show. Like, I see, like, clips from...
Same.
But I'm not going to sit there. Come on, Joe, but I'm not listening to no four-hour show. Like, you kiss my ass, bro. Like, then you're doing two shows. So you really think I'm going to devote a whole work day, 8 hours...
Pretty much.
...to listen to your... Are you crazy?
Yeah.
So, no, I'm not finna do it. So
I'm with you, too, man. I will catch those clips on YouTube. And if it's a heading that I like, I'll watch it. I could deal with Joe and his team for 8 to 10 minutes. That's cool.
Yeah.
But sitting and listening to a whole, and that's not to say that he's not good, because he is one of the best in the game. But you're right. He has indirectly inspired people to go out and think, just because, you know, they can talk on a microphone and people want to. I mean, you have to be engaging. You have to have the right things to say. You have to have a purpose. You have to have so many things. And so I think for me, I've tapped into quite a few of those celebrity podcasts, and I was like, nah, this ain't gonna make it. Like, you can almost tell, like, it's not gonna make it. I remember, and this lady, I love this lady, our former first lady, Michelle Obama, or our first lady, Michelle Obama. She has a podcast now with her brother, but she had a solo podcast before, because she got this huge deal for Spotify. I think it might have been like $100 million or something like that. And so I was like, okay, let me check it out, because I'm genuinely interested in what she had to say. And with her, she's so busy, she couldn't keep it up. Like, people, they get used to you and your schedule with podcasts. Jerm will tell you guys, if there's not a Pod and Saved Our Marriage episode on Friday, I'm on the jack. I'm calling him like, yo, man.
What's going on, man?
I'm like, hey, man, where the show? You know? He's like, yeah, 12, Kyle, I told you we weren't recording this. No, I don't want to hear that, man. You better put 5 minutes or something up there, because the thing is, I'm no different as a listener and a consumer. We have our habits. We have, you know, a certain podcast that I walk to when I'm outside of walking each day or working out. You know, you put someone's podcast on, and even if you just say, hey, I'm gonna take a walk, I want to walk until the end of this podcast. That's a goal right there. And that's something I think is easily attainable. But even getting back to Joe Budden, I think you're right. I think he's set the bar very high. Everybody can't jump across that bar.
No, they can't.
So y'all just be just understand that that's a very high bar to jump across. And I'm with Jerm. I don't listen, because I don't have 4 hours for you. I just don't. Same for Drink Champs. Mm-mm. I'll catch a Drink Champs clip, but I'm not about to. There's nobody's, and that's one of the reasons why you don't have a 3 hour 12 Kyle podcast or 3 hour Rap Soul podcast. I'm not gonna sit and listen to myself talk for 3 hours. So I know you don't want to hear me for 3 hours. No, I used to have a radio show, and I did that for 2 hours, and nonstop, no commercials, and that was a lot. And I was always surprised at how many people's stayed with the show from start to finish, because the shows aren't designed for you to, you know, sit and listen like that. So I'm with you on that one. Hip-hop hot take. Actually, I don't think this is a hot take, but I gotta say this for you people out there. Record sales or extreme high streaming numbers doesn't mean that you're good. I think people have conflated the two. Just because you sell a bunch of records back in the day, or just because you have a billion streams, doesn't mean that your album is good or that you're good. You just got a lot of people tapping in. I don't know when it happened. I think I do know when it happened. We really, really, really started to pay attention to sales when it became about sales, and it became about sales because of two people. 50 Cent and Kanye West. Now, if you remember a few years back, Kanye West and 50 Cent had a duel. They were going head to head. They were going to drop their albums on the same day. And it was supposed to be like a loser get out of town type of thing where, you know, whoever had the least amount of first week sales, because that's how your albums were measured, folks, based on what you sold in the first week. And they were going head to head, and you know, the loser was supposed to, you know, really get out of Dodge because it was based on the fans. So they did the whole promo tour. They were on 106 and Park. They were on TRL. They were saying, hey, everybody go buy my album. And the albums dropped. And I want to say some of 50, I want to say 50's album got leaked maybe a day or two before the album actually dropped. Kanye beat him in record sales, I think. But I think it might have been, and I'm going off the top of my head, I didn't look it up, like Kanye sold like 750,000, 50 sold like 650,000, something like that. It wasn't close, but still, they made it about sales. And so now a lot of times I'll hear or see, because I don't participate in these conversations, I'll see people going back and forth. Oh, man, well Drake got 11 billion streams. Kendrick got 5 billion streams. That stuff doesn't matter because, as we all know, one, nobody can tell you how much a stream actually pays you. Two, you're not getting paid probably what you should be getting paid by people listening to your streams, as opposed to buying your physical copy of an album, how it was when me and Jerm was growing up. So no, sales did not equate to something being good, because like I tell people all the time, hey, Vanilla Ice sold way more than Rakim. Who's better?
I don't recall what the Purple Tape did in the first week. I don't remember getting those numbers from SoundScan.
Because it didn't matter.
It didn't matter at all. Like, it didn't matter. That was your death wish. Remember, if you went platinum back in the day, well, who's that? EPMD had a song called The Crossover.
Crossover, yeah.
Yeah, like that was like the worst thing that could happen to you was you go platinum. They were like, no! A million people like my album? No!
Yeah, I mean, like, we saw that with Hammer. People used to clown Hammer because he was successful and he was quote unquote selling out. I mean, like, that's what you, I mean, but now the things that Hammer got clowned for, people do every day.
They want that. Like, right. You go to a show now and you don't sell out, they on the internet clowning you.
Mm-hmm.
You got to cancel your tour because the sales is low. I went to the store. He still got tapes on the shelf. What kind of man is that? He ain't even selling no albums. I see your stuff still in the store. That was a diss back in the day.
Yeah, that was a diss back in the day. But now, yeah, so just for the record, record sales and album streams, no matter how many you have, doesn't mean that you're good or bad. Because something's popular doesn't necessarily mean it's good. And just because something's good doesn't mean it's necessarily popular. So take that for what it's worth. What else you got, Jerm?
Well, this is kind of Midwest. I'm attacking everybody. All regions are getting hit today. All regions are getting hit. So this is a Midwest thing. I don't care how fast you can rap, it's still trash. Bone, Twista, Mystical, Jay-Z, all y'all fast rapping niggas, stop that shit. That shit garbage. It doesn't show me anything. I don't want to hear that. Eminem, that rap guy song. What are we talking about? Like, you got great, you can hold your breath and breath control and all that, that's great. But that music is trash. Nobody want to hear that fast rapping stuff. I mean, when I first heard Bone, I was just like, my little brother was like, oh man, these boys so dope. I was like, no, they not, they garbage. I did not like it. I didn't like Tongue Twister when he first came out, rapping in the little hot.
Shout out,
didn't like
Tongue Twister.
I didn't like none of that. I don't like none of that fat, that Do or Die, all that, no. Didn't Pope like Pimp. That Pope Pimp, no. Don't like it. Keep that stuff.
Hey, well, you about to make the whole Avengers mad. You know, Jay-Z, that's how he got his start. He was rapping fast.
He stopped, didn't he? Because he said that shit trash.
Yeah, Jay, if you didn't know, kids, Jay-Z famously was a fast rapper when he first came out. And he stopped rapping fast because he couldn't get a record deal. And the thought was that record labels wasn't feeling because he was rapping fast. And they couldn't understand what he was saying. Or at least they thought the fans wouldn't be able to understand. Mm. Okay, Jerm. Okay.
He came to the high school and rapped Original Flavors when he was with them.
Wow.
I was just like, wow.
If you want a podcast where culture, conversation, and life collide, where you get insightful commentary, engaging discussions, and a fresh perspective on everything, then you need to listen to the 12 Kyle podcast. Hosted by the one and only, yours truly, 12 Kyle, a voice that you know and trust. This podcast will bring you thought-provoking moments, compelling stories, and a whole lot of fun. Whether you're a first-time listener or just tuning in, each episode promises to be something new and exciting. So sit back, relax, join 12 Kyle, myself, and my guests as we break down the world around us and give you stories that you've never heard before, from nostalgic throwbacks to everything in between. The 12 Kyle podcast is a front row seat to this conversation. Subscribe now and never miss an episode of the 12 Kyle podcast, where the vibe is always real and the discussion is always worth your time. Are you feeling nostalgic for the golden eras of rap and soul music? If so, tune in to the Rap Soul podcast. We are your weekly journey through the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, spotlighting the music and the hidden gems that shaped the soundtrack of our lives. From the powerful beats to the soulful melodies, we bring you the best of the past with fresh insights and stories. Rediscover the music that defined a generation. Subscribe to the Rap Soul podcast and enjoy the vibes. I'm in the middle on the fast rap. Like, if I can understand it, but I'm like you, a lot of it I don't understand, so I may just kind of vibe with the beat. Now that Busta Rhymes song, I know you know which one I'm talking about. Where he's
something. Anyway, right, but come on, yeah. Again, Busta, what are we doing?
I ain't gonna disagree with you. I don't hate it, but it's not. It ain't on the top of my list. Let's see. This one's very important. I think hip hop hot take. If some rapper tells you that they didn't write their rhyme, like that they went into the booth and they spit it all off the dome, or they wrote their rhymes in their head, they are lying. Everybody says that they do that, and nobody does it. It was first brought to our attention that allegedly Biggie did it, but you know, many, many years after he passed, Method Man said when they performed the song, when they recorded the song The What, he gave him a pad and a pen, and Biggie wrote the rhymes right there in front of him. Jay-Z famously said that that's how he learned how to rhyme, because he would be hustling and he would have like paper bags and he would be on the corner and he didn't have time to write it down. So he'd take a piece of paper. Take a pen and just write it on a brown paper bag. And he stuffed the pieces of paper bag in his pocket. That would be rhymes while he was on the corner. And he said eventually he just ran out of place to put the paper bags that he had stuffed in his pocket, or at least pieces of paper bag that he stuffed in his pocket. So he began to write the rhymes in his head. And then, so Jay-Z famously goes into the studio. He just sits in a chair and he rocks and he listens to the beat. And then he gets up after an hour or two and he's ready to rhyme.
One take.
Yeah. Oh, listen. And everybody else that says that they do their song in one take, they're lying. I refuse to believe. Listen. And y'all know, if you've been following this podcast, you know, I love Nas. One of my favorite MCs. I love Illmatic. It's one of my favorite albums. New York State of Mind sets the album off. I love that song. The song is incredible. DJ Premier, who produced the album, said that Nas did that in one take. I don't think he did. There's nothing that you can tell me, because Premier says that he pointed to Nas, and Nas, you can hear Nas, and Nas actually says this on the rhyme. He's like, I don't know how to start this. And then Premier points to him and he starts rapping. I refuse to believe that he wrote that whole rap and he did it one time and they never had to go back and overdub or punch in or punch out. So no, I'm not a believer in people saying that they wrote their rhymes in their head. Lil Wayne, the great Lil Wayne, allegedly.
It sounds like it. Have you listened to his last album?
I did not.
It sounds like he doesn't write that down. So, and then Wayne's problem is this. Wayne said to himself, he didn't even know Kendrick and Drake was beefing. Wayne, you cannot be that far removed from the culture and still think you're going to rap. He said, only music I listen to is mine and my son's. I said, what?
Wow.
Wayne, and it sounds like it. The way you're rapping, you're not listening to nobody because somebody would have told you, like, that album, it was hard to get through. I mean, the first song, Welcome to the Carter, dope. The Cotton Candy song with 2 Chainz, aight. But the rest of it, trash.
Wow.
Garbage.
And it's funny, I was telling my boy, shout out to Hove, my boy Hove. I was telling, Hove was a big...
Jay-Z? Big, oh, wow. Hey, we just got a... Oh, my God. No. Keep going to it, Kyle. Keep
no, my homeboy Hove Dent.
Okay.
I knew I shouldn't have said that because this is the wrong one on this podcast. Anyway, my boy Hove, he's a huge Wayne fan, and he said it wasn't that bad. But I told Hove, I said no, and I know he's gonna listen to this and watch this episode. I was like, Hove, nobody, you're the only person that's given this thing. I said every writer that I've seen, every write up has given it a bad review. I was like, so it's not good. Can't be.
I heard people are remixing the album, giving it new beats, because they saying Wayne produced a lot of the beats himself.
Ooh.
So I hear people is giving it new beats, and they're like, hey, man, with the new beats, it don't sound that bad. You know what I'm saying? But I'm like...
Yeah, that and that's the sign. And like you said, Wayne probably... Well, I ain't gonna say probably. Wayne does a lot of drugs, so maybe that has something to do with... why the album sounds the way that it does. I haven't listened, so I can't shit on the album that I never heard, but I'll just put it like this. Nobody that I've heard or listened to has said any other than Hove has said a good thing about that album. And I think that says a lot. So yeah, but back to my original hot take. If they said they didn't write it down, they're lying. Don't believe nobody that said that they wrote it down or if they did it in one take. I'm not going to say it's impossible, but it's not likely. And it's become something that, you know, it's kind of like folklore. So now we're in a space now where particularly albums from the 90s and the 80s, we're getting documentaries or we're getting these conversation pieces about how these albums, as these albums are hitting their, you know, 20, 30, 35, maybe 40 year mark, we're hitting, you know, we're getting that point where people want to know more about the album. So you mentioned, Purple Tape, Only Built for Cuban Links by Raekwon. He has a documentary coming out. If Raekwon gets on that documentary and tells us that he he did, you know, Strive for Perfection in one take, I'm gonna be like, come on, Ray, come on, man. You, because nobody was doing that back then. We didn't have the technology to just do that. And for you to do it in one take, that means that you basically were perfect. So what it is, what we hear on the album is what you did that day. I don't believe that.
Now 12K, I will give some kind of credence, because sometimes you can listen to music now and you can hear stuff in the background, like people talking,
right,
and stuff like that. So some of these guys might not be like I'm gonna be honest, the Woo, they might have did it in one take, because the situations they were working under, they probably like, look, we got to get this done now. We don't know where Old Dirty is, but we got to get this song done now. You know what I'm saying? So it's a possibility.
It's a possibility, but I doubt it. I think, you know, like I said, they didn't have the technology that we have now. So I think they probably, and they were younger and moving around the city and stuff like that. So they, no, you ain't have everybody in the session. No, it wasn't done in one take. What other hip hop hot take you got?
All right, man. Just going to ruffle a couple feathers right here. But let's be honest. Outside of a few acts, California rappers, mid. I'm going to be honest. I'm just outside of a few acts. And when I say a few, I'm talking like a handful. I'm talking like your Kendricks, your Games, your Snoop Dogs, you know. Then it's the drop-off. Then it's the drop-off. All them other. I was listening to y'all show y'all did last week. When y'all was naming all the 50 LA rappers.
Mm-hmm.
I said, wow. I didn't even know there was 50 rappers in L.A. But ooh, some of them guys y'all were naming, come on, bro. Let's be honest. G Perico and all these. I haven't heard his music. but just his name doesn't sound like a winner to me. So West Coast music has this little bop to it. Sometimes it don't bother you, sometimes it does. Like in that song, East Side of Song, Stay Gangstered Up, like that little doom, 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 doom. They thought it's like this little beat. Sometimes it works, sometimes it don't work. So, you know, oh, I forgot about Nipsey. Nipsey, one of the good ones. I became a Nipsey fan.
I was about to say.
In 2025, you know, so it took a long time, but I became a Nipsey fan.
Why did it take you so long?
Because I'm one of those people. When the hype train is going, I gotta stay away, because people hype things up so much that if it don't live up to the expectations, I'm just gonna dog shit on it, right? So I knew about Nipsey before his passing away and everything, but I wasn't, you know, one of his music fans. And then I didn't want to become one of his fans just because he passed away. So I kind of let that subside a little bit, and then I started listening to the artists, and I was like, okay, I see what Nipsey was doing. I see why people liked him. You know what I'm saying? So I became a Nipsey fan just this year in 2025. Wow. So
That's funny to me, because I remember we were in a group chat.
Uh-huh.
And we were in a group chat, and I forgot the name of the podcast we were in the group chat for.
It was Mansa Ray
and
and
that crew. But they, when Victory Lap came out, they did a whole episode on Victory Lap. And me and I remember we were in a group chat. We was like, okay, we got to listen to this. And I went and listened to it. I was like, oh, I tried to listen.
I just couldn't get into it because he had, because I hate on Cali rappers. I hate on them because it's just
clearly
like the, it's the sound. It's a lot. It's a lot. It's something I had to deal with. You know what I'm saying? So I was late to the party on Nipsey. And I forgot about him. So yeah, that could be a hot take right there.
Yeah, that's definitely a hot take. As you guys know, I've already done a couple of episodes. I'm a huge, huge fan of California rappers, West Coast, particularly 80s and 90s. I mean, now I can listen to some of it now, but 80s and 90s. And part of it was because where I grew up in Florence, South Carolina, I could get my hands on that music like it was nothing. Like I couldn't get a Run DMC tape, but I could get a King T tape with no problem. And geographically, I'm way further away from LA than I was to New York City. But it was just like that, as far as, you know, and this was before the internet. But so I grew up on, you know, King T, Ice T, and then subsequently Ice Cube, NWA. Those were my guys, and that's where I flocked. So I have a definite affinity for the music. I love the bop. It does have a bop. LA, it's got a bop to it. Most of them have a bop to it, because it's based on the boom in the car and your speakers, and it's got a little swing to it. But no, you. I'm gonna let you stand on that, because
I'm just saying it's I have
Uncle Dolomite from the Too Much Game podcast, BTG, our boy Baylor the Great from BTG for President. They're gonna call you.
I'm sure I'm gonna get a phone call about it.
Yeah, you're gonna get a phone. You might. Hey, you know what? They might call you together. In fact, I might need to send them this clip too.
Wow, that's crazy. But can I add a part two onto that?
Go ahead.
Texas, y'all on the list too. It's a lot of y'all garbage Texas rappers too. I'm gonna be real.
I mean, like, you already shit on Scarface, so yeah.
I mean, Slim Thug, you another one. He get too much credit. Like, Slim Thug trash, bro. Let's be honest, if he didn't have the song with T.I. and Bun B, we wouldn't care. If he wasn't on Still Tipping, we wouldn't care. Hey, he had to be on there with somebody else. If he was on the song by himself, we wouldn't care, because we know Slim Thug didn't have the best verse in that song.
Hold up. It was just him by himself on Still Tipping, right?
Still Tipping was him, Mike Jones, and Paul Wall.
Yeah, okay. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I remember his verse, but yeah, Paul Wall was good. You don't like Paul Wall?
Heck no, that's a whole nother show we could have right there. Paul Wall was garbage.
I ain't even gonna ask you about Mike Jones.
Another trash rapper. Like, it's Mike Jones is one of those seasonal rappers where they be hot one year, then the next year. Like, where is Moneybagg Yo at? He was hot Fish Grease, Where's Moneybagg Yo, the Boss Man D-Lo, that's the, what's the big guy now, Big X the Plug. All these rappers will be gone next year because we're going to move on from them. And Mike Jones is one of those seasonal gimmicky rappers. Said the same. Mike Jones really got over on rap. Now, man, he only had to really write 8 bars because the other 8 was just him repeating what he said in the other 8.
Mike Jones put his phone number in the raps.
Bruh, look, trash rappers have the best marketing strategies. And that right there, that phone number thing, because everybody still remember that number to this day.
Like,
you know what I'm saying? What is it? 281-330-8004? Like, come on, man. Everybody remember. I wonder if somebody had that phone number now.
That's his number. Like, I'm pretty sure he don't answer, but that's his number.
No, he better not answer. I know that number still probably get called every day. I think back in the day when he said when he did that, he got like a phone bill that first month. It was like $6,000.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, people just, you know, it wasn't free phone calls like it is now. So, you know, so he said the bill was crazy. So he worked out a deal with Verizon, whoever his phone people was, Sprint at the time. And they, you know, they made something happen. But, yeah, that's another thing. Texas rappers, I'm not sold on y'all. Some of y'all can't rap. And then Texas beats make it real easy for them to rap. If you think about how slow that beat is, you got so much time to think. Like, anytime I'm freestyling, I'll throw on the June 27 beat. And I can rap for 6 hours on that beat because it's just so... It just make it so easy. Texas niggas, y'all getting over. We see what y'all doing, bro. Wow. Y'all not slick.
King Germ, boy, they coming. They going to be coming at your neck.
Just hold saying,
on. Okay,
man.
I got to ask. Bun B, Pimp C?
I said most. No, Bun B, Pimp C, the exception.
Okay.
Then, like I said, then the drop off. Then you got the Scarfaces and the other people like that. The big pokies.
I dare you.
The big pokies and the Kikis and all them other chameleonaires and all. A bunch of. Yeah, and look, in Dallas rappers, y'all even worse. Let's not even. Yeah, y'all sound like y'all speaking a whole other language right there.
Like, that's going a little too far for me. I don't make it to Dallas. I got a spot out in Houston, but I don't make it to Dallas.
Mm-mm. No need.
Yeah, I'm gonna stand away from that. I'm gonna let Germ be on that island by himself. I got love for Texas. I'm gonna be out in Texas soon, so I'm rolling.
You gonna still be able to get your trail burger, man. Don't do that.
Hey, listen. soon as I land, I'm going to Trail Burger. I ain't even going to the hotel. I'm going straight to Trail Burger.
That's what's
up. Let's see. Hip hop hot take. Jay-Z has not produced a great album since American Gangster.
Damn.
That's the last one. And I think I posted it in the group chat. The link, and I don't know how true this is, but it seemed to be from a credible source, and the tweet read that it's rumored that Jay-Z could possibly be the headliner for the Super Bowl in 2026.
Hey.
If I'm not mistaken, Jay-Z's company, Roc Nation, I think their deal is up with the NFL next year. So it would be a perfect swan song for Jay-Z to be the headliner. The problem with that is if you make Jay-Z the headliner, that means one thing, Germ. He's going to make another album. And he shouldn't. And 444, I don't know what y'all see in 444. I thought I was being difficult. Again, shout out to the homie Matt. Matt hit me up one day. He's like, yo, man, I think you should go back and listen to 444. I was like, you know what? Okay. I'll do it. So against my better judgment, I was in the car, Germ, so I wasn't disturbed or anything. I'm listening. I'm like, no, like this ain't the same dude, man. And I get it, man. But Jay-Z has not been the same since he got married and had kids. And I mean, maybe you could say the same for 12 Kyle. Maybe I ain't the same that I was, you know, since I got married and had kids. Maybe I fell off. I don't know. But I'm not making albums. And by the time you heard my first episode of my podcast, I was already married with kids. So I don't know. So I can't say that I fell off. But this dude, he ain't the same, man. And his subject matter is. Aside, the flow just ain't there. Jay-Z, I've said before, Jay-Z is the guy that he's that guy that used to average 30 points a game. Now, you know, he probably averaged like 18. And every now and then he can get you a triple double, Jern. He can get you a 30-10-12 game. But that's every now and then. And so I hope that this isn't true. Again, it's only rumors and speculation, but you heard it here first. That's the rumors that he's going to be the halftime show for the Super Bowl next year. And if that happens, we're almost guaranteed that there's going to be a Jay-Z album between now and then. And that shouldn't happen because he has not delivered a great album since American Gangsta. And some people don't like American Gangsta. I think American Gangsta is really good. But Magna Carta, Holy Grail, I don't know, whatever it came after that. Yeah, that wasn't that good.
Yeah, Blueprint 3 was terrible.
Like, yeah, it really was. I think my favorite song, no, what was that? What was the one with the red album cover?
That's Kingdom Come.
Kingdom Come. I like the song with him and Beyonce. That's about the best.
You thing. Like Hollywood?
Yes.
Oh my God. That's a hot take right there. You were the only person in America to like that song.
I love that song, man.
Jay-Z and Beyonce got some of the worst songs they together.
They do.
Like, Ape Shit probably their best song. You know what I'm saying?
You like that? I mean, like Ape Shit.
Beyonce flowed on that, man. Beyonce, she carried Jay-Z on that Carter's album. Like,
that,
I don't
and
know.
That's the thing. When your wife is out rapping you on an album.
And that's sad right there. I felt bad for Jay-Z. I felt bad. But
so, yeah, I think it's he should have stopped already. But I think if this is true, and I don't know where she was performing last night, I think, or this past weekend at the time of this recording, somewhere in Paris, and he came out and performed with her a couple of the joints that they got together, and that's cool. But yeah, I ain't trying to see Jay-Z on the stage no more, man.
Yeah, Jay-Z is definitely a side item now. He's not the main guy no more. You're Beyonce's husband now. You know what I'm saying? You just need to play that role. Now, with Jay-Z, as far as career-wise, I would equate him to The Undertaker. And what I mean by that, how The Undertaker first started out, he was, you know, mean Mark Hallis. Then he evolved into The Undertaker. Then he evolved into the American Badass. Then he just kept evolving into another character to keep him relevant, to keep him around wrestling, you know, for all these years. And, you know, he'll pop out for WrestleMania. He might not do nothing all year long. You know, he'll pop out for a wrestling. You know, it just Jay-Z and Mankind, excuse me, and The Undertaker is like the same. And like I said, I feel the same way. I listen to old Hov. I would not listen to any new Jay-Z. Same. I would listen to a couple of songs off of 444, like Family Feud and Bam. You know what I'm saying? That's about, you know. But I just feel like Jay-Z spent too much of his career making us feel bad about being broke to all of a sudden around and be, oh, you need to invest and buy artwork and love your family. No, Jay-Z, that ain't what you told me.
No, I need to sell dope. That's what I need to do.
That's what you told me. You that ain't what you told. You told me a whole bunch of now all of a sudden you just want to flip the script and start getting grown up telling me to buy artwork and invest in Dumbledorf and love my wife and
Why, Jerm?
Why?
Because Hov did that. So you want? Hopefully you won't have to go through that.
I get that. But I want to go through that. So I agree with you on
Okay. What other hip-hop hot take you got?
This is my last hot take. Okay. My last hot take. This one's going to hurt. This one's going to hurt. But it has to be said. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, let me preface this by my favorite rap group, hip-hop musical group of all time is Outkast, right?
Okay.
Of all time is Outkast. And I love these guys. I love them so much that I would not even listen to them when they're not rapping together. You know what I'm saying? But I got to say, Andre 3000 has been dropping verses, you know, well, he ain't rapped in a while. But when he does to pop out, everybody's happy. Everybody's like, oh, Andre spitting. And I'm going to be real with you. Andre not spitting. We just happy to hear that nigga rap. We just happy to hear him rap. Like, listen, we love Andre so much that when we hear him say anything, like that song he did on 16 is not enough. Mm-hmm. He said, pat, 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 pat. What the fuck are we talking about, Andre? Like, go back and listen to some of Andre verses. He be bullshitting. But we just let it slide because it's Andre 3K. But I'm here to say, Andre, if your heart not in it, I'm going to need you to just put up the microphone. Go pick your flute up. Keep playing it. Go be happy. But do not get back in this game if you're not going to spit like how you used to spit. All right? I'm one of those listeners that'll be honest. If my favorite's bullshitting, I'm going to call him out. Andre, you've been bullshitting for a while. Let's get back. Let's either stop it, either don't quit playing with him, Andre.
I unequivocally disagree.
Of course you do.
Love Andre 3000. Love Outkast.
I love him too.
Okay, but what about the Donda song?
All that, listen.
He killed that. Now, come on, Jerm. With Kanye? on that Kanye album that nobody heard? Well, I ain't listened to it. I just listened to that one song.
Listen, again, it was good to hear Andre rapping. Listen, I'm with you. I'm just happy to hear him rapping. But when I sit there and I compare it to how Andre rap, nah, bro. Who is this man right here? Like, you bullshitting, Andre. You're mailing it in. You're mailing it in, Stax.
I think you're being harsh. I mean, Kendrick said, bing, bop, boom, bop, boom, bop, bam.
Oh, don't let me. I can take it back to the West real quick. Kendrick, all delivery. Y'all caught up on delivery. It's not, if you look at it, if you read his lyrics, it ain't nothing great there. But when he get that, when he start doing all that, y'all lose y'all mind. They be like, oh, Kendrick spin.
We got to clip that right there.
Yes, clip it. Clip it. Because I'm going to be honest with you. Kendrick is all delivery. It's not, if you read his lyrics, some of his lyrics, like that song he had with Pusha T, that Nostalgia. Now, yeah, I still think that was hard. That might be Kendrick's best verse.
Nah, it ain't his best verse.
Psh, you find me another Kendrick verse better than that.
Oh, I can find you. I find you a bunch of dope verses.
Okay. Oh, hey, you can't say a bunch. You can't say that.
Listen, bro. Nah, Kendrick, I can't let you shit on K-Dot. Nah.
I ain't shitting on him. I'm just saying it's all delivery. We caught up on delivery or flow, well, as y'all want, or do y'all want to call it flow.
His flow, his delivery, it's different on every song. I can appreciate that.
That's the point. That's what get us caught up. It ain't the lyrics. He is the male version of Nicki Minaj, and y'all don't want to admit it.
I can't wait to.
And that same machine that was behind Drake is behind you now, Kendrick. You got the machine behind you, buddy.
I can't wait to Bella and Dolomite hear this one.
I'm just saying.
Ooh-wee. The group chat going to be going crazy. Because we have a group chat. It's me, Dolomite, Germ, and Bella. And, I cannot wait. I don't agree with anything he said. Send all hate mail to kingjerm@gmail.com, podsave.com. Send all the hate mail there. I'm not standing next to you on that one. Last one. I'm gonna end on mine on this one. A lot of rappers had the idea, which started out as a good idea, to make a double CD. In most cases, it wasn't a good idea. In my opinion, not only was it a bad idea, but the albums did not measure up to what you think would have been on a great double album. My opinion, hip hop hot take, the best double CD ever made, 8 Ball, Lost. If you don't believe me, go listen. It's better than Jay-Z's double album. It's better than Biggie's double album. It's better than Tupac's double album. It's better than Nas's double album. It's better than Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince's double album. That album is cold. From start to finish, it's got a bunch of features on it, so I'm not big on features, but outside of the features, it ain't a lot that I can say bad about it. It is a legit 4.5 mic album. Eight Ball is rapping his fat ass off.
Huh? 8 Ball Lost. Lost. The best double album.
Best double album ever.
Yes. That's a hot take. You ended it with the hottest of hot takes. Listen, like that's on the Scoville chart right there.
And
that's
nobody
hot.
Will confuse 8 Ball with, you know, again, being better lyrically than Biggie, Jay-Z, Nas, or none of them. Or Pac, maybe. Well, Pac's not a lyricist, but that's another story for another day. But yeah, as much as people love All Eyes on Me, I say this almost all the time when we get into a doubles album discussion. If All Eyes on Me was a single disc, if he took the majority of the dope songs that's on disc one and like half of what's on disc two, because the back half of disc two is not good. People don't ever want to talk about that, but that's a whole nother story for another day. But you take that and you make that one CD, Tupac possibly has the greatest album, hip hop album of all time. It was just that good. But every double CD has a lot of filter on it, and you can look at Life After Death, a lot of filter, you know, people don't want to talk about it, but it's a lot of, I understand that Life After Death is held in a lot of high regard, one, because it's a great album. But you got to remember, it Biggie died right before the album came out. So there's a sentimental value, particularly for those of us who were alive when this album came out. There's a sentimental value that we've attached ourselves to this album. And I'm one included. Nas's double CD wasn't that good. I think Nas is a great MC. It wasn't that good.
Nas got a double album?
Yeah.
I know which one you're talking about. I remember now. Because it looked like the, I can see the album cover now. Mm-hmm. I just can't see the name of it.
Jay-Z, The Gift and the Curse. Now Jay-Z got some smokers on that joint. There's too many songs, man. Way too many songs.
8 Ball put out a triple CD, and you said I'm still caught up on that.
The third CD is like a bonus.
Yeah, it was like the Suave House remixes and stuff like that.
So, so I don't really count that.
But he got credit for selling 3 CDs though. So that's
that
why.
Album, go listen to that album. That album is fire. Or as
that's
a kid,
got Play Away and all that. Play Away and all that's on
yes,
there, right?
Sir, Backyard Mississippi, all of that. My best friend's girlfriend. Man, listen.
I still got TRU true to the game over that. Mm-mm. Master P probably got 3 albums better than that. 3
P
doubles.
Master P is not in Loss's wheelhouse. Master P got a double album.
What? He got like 3 of them. He was one of the TRU album. What you mean? He was doing it his own. He can do anything he wanted.
And therein lies the problem.
I think the TRU album was double. MP The Last Dime was double.
Yeah, okay. I had a TRU album. That album was, it's funny.
Hey,
totally
twerk
got
out,
a
twerk
dumb
out.
Album.
Twerk out. Mm-hmm. Tread lightly.
Listen, that album, Jerm, that album was good, but that album was way too long. It's about 5 songs with too many.
I don't know, man.
And Jerm. It had Silk Shock on it, so I rest my case.
What again? Oh, let me before we get out of here, 12 count. Mm-hmm. Silk Shock, y'all give him a bad rap, all right? Y'all call him the most trash rapper of all time. Now, Silk Shock, only problem was he did not know how to rap to the beat, so he rapped to whatever beat he was on. He rapped how that beat went. So, if you want to be honest, Silk might be one of the most versatile rappers out there. Because he was like the old dirty bastard. He didn't have a father to his style. Listen. So he was more innovative than what y'all give him credit for.
Listen, Jer, if Silk and Shaka's older brother didn't own that label, he'd be the janitor. if he was trying to get signed to Def Jam, he would have got dropped. No. Hell no. Come on, man.
And I got one more, and I promise this is the last one.
Go ahead.
Mama Sita is not a bad song.
That song is trash.
I gotta say it. It's not a bad song.
Listen, me and Jerm had this conversation already off air via phone call. Mama Sita, which is on Outkast's Aquemini album, in my opinion, Mama Sita is the worst song on that album. I don't even think that song should even be on the album. In fact, The conversation got so deep to where I had to ask Jerm, the young lady who's rapping on that song, what's her name again?
Masada.
I had to Google Masada, right? Mm-hmm. So I go to the Google machine and I Google Masada. And guess what I find out, folks? Masada appears on this song and she is on no other rap song in her whole career.
Cause she spit the why mess it up? Cause she couldn't live up to. She didn't want to be like AZ and not live up to the expectations of the fire she just dropped.
One, she was a dark stain. She was a doo-doo stain on a flawless album. And then two, if you tell me that you rapped on a 5-mic album that got 5 mics in the source, so you rapped on a 5-mic album and you never rapped again in your life. That tells me that either your cousin was producing the record or maybe you were sleeping with the producer. I don't want to accuse it because I don't know who she is. She could walk in this room right now with a Masada jersey on and I wouldn't know who she was. But no, she was trash. Mamacita, Papa Donna. Oh my gosh, that was awful, man. That song is a perennial forever skip. And I love Outkast.
Love that song.
I love that album. That song is trididididash. Terrible. But yeah, in conclusion, folks, we just wanted to come on here and give you guys some of our hip hop hot takes. We know that you're going to have a problem with a lot of what we said. We welcome feedback. Be respectful, because we will cuss your ass out if you're not. But we take on all the smoke. Before we get out of here, Germ, tell the folks where they can find you at, where they can find the podcast.
But first off, I want to thank 12 Cal for having me studios again. I appreciate it. Anytime I get to come to your platform and chop it up with you, it's always good to talk to other men. You know, cause I sit there and do a podcast with my wife every Friday. Pod and Save That Marriage. You can find us on all DSPs. You can follow us on the Twitters at Pod and Saved, on Instagram, Pod and Save That Marriage. Come check us out every Friday after you listen to 12 Cal, because he drops shows 4 days a week. So, you know, we got to get in what we can. You know what I'm saying? So after you listen to 12 Cal show, come give us a listen, man.
That's right, because this podcast will be out this coming Friday at the time of this recording. So it's going to drop the same day as Pod and Saved Our Marriage. So go listen to Pod and Saved Our Marriage and then come listen to this. Or if you're here in Germ for the first time, listen to this and go listen to Pod and Saved Our Marriage wherever you're listening to this podcast. Of course, you know the Rap Soul podcast drops every every Monday and every Friday at midnight. Follow us on socials, 12 Kyle, Rap Soul Podcast. If you want to contribute to the podcast financially, hit us up, Cash App, $TWELVEKYLE. And also, don't forget about the flagship station, my personal podcast, the 12 Kyle Podcast, where we drop new episodes every Thursday and every Sunday at midnight. And you can find it wherever you find it or wherever you're listening to this podcast right here. And we're also on YouTube as well. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us. So for my boy King Germ, I am your boy 12 Kyle. We'll catch you guys next time. 5,000. Cheer.
Thank you for listening. This concludes the episode. Be sure to subscribe to the Rap Soul Podcast. You can find the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Follow the podcast on social media. And feel free to continue this discussion on our Reddit page. More importantly, share this podcast with a friend or family member who loves music as much as you do. Until next time, 5,000.